Okay, welcome everybody to Burgess Power Hour. Today, tonight, we are playing with the whole idea of receiving and just kind of checking in and asking, are you ready to receive? And
Yes.
yes, so
Sorry.
we have our beautiful Kevin here. And all of you who have registered, welcome. You're getting the recording and you'll be able to go through this process and these things with on your own time. And if people join us while we're in the middle of it, okay. And as usual, you might want to get pen and paper. If you've got something like that, you might want to do a we do some stream of consciousness type of writing or experiences so that you can kind of identify maybe some blocks that you've had to receiving and what is your receivability. You know, what is your ability to receive? And where are you with that? Receiving love, receiving money, receiving kindness, receiving all your heart's desired. And it's really an energy. And the whole concept about all of this tonight we're going to play with is that giving and receiving is the same energy. And it might sound weird, but if you kind of stick with me here, you might get the idea. Okay. So I'm going to do, like I said before, I don't do PowerPoints normally in these things, but I have a PowerPoint that I wanted to do some slides with you to start with. And then we'll do some experiences and then we'll wrap up and do some sharing. So, yay, you're getting like a one-on-one
Nice.
so far, right? So that's,
That's
yeah, see
it.
what you do when you show up?
Yeah.
That's number one. In order to receive, you have to show up. And I mean energetically, emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually, just showing up is 90% of it. So kudos to you. You get the star tonight, honey. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen just for fun and ask you these questions to start with. Whoops, stop share. We don't want that. Let's do this one. Oh, interesting. It went away. Okay. My whole PowerPoint went away. Am I supposed to really show it? Yes, so. Well, anyway, we'll see how we do here. Let's go here. We don't want this. Sorry. I apologize.
Your
I
phone.
had it all ready to go, and there you go. Best laid plans. Okay. There it is. See if I can try it again. See if it'll help me. Maybe I'm not supposed to do that. Okay, how's that? Can you see that?
Yep, I got it.
Yay! Okay, so here's the question. Do you believe that you can have money and love at the same time? And you can participate and answer this, or you can just think about it, however you want to play. But that's one of the questions is some people don't believe they can have money and happiness at the same time. We know we've heard that money doesn't buy happiness, but it sure does help us with things in our life to be able to afford things to feel better about what we're doing and having a purpose in our life. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So some people, do you know people who have a lot of money but aren't happy?
Yes.
Do you know anybody who doesn't have a lot of money? But they're really happy.
It seems like a lot of people who have maybe lesser are just having a better time than most people, it seems like. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. So you get to look at that, go, wow, what am I, how am I showing up with that? Like, where do I fall in line with those beliefs, you know, around me? So if you know people that are really wealthy and just unhappy, or if they're really happy and they just don't have a lot of money, you know, how, which one do you want to be, you know, and can you have both, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the questions. And this is about me. You guys all know me, those of you who are seeing me before, but just to give you 2 seconds again about Burge Smith Lyons and what I'm what my background was before I went bankrupt. I lost my home, my business. I was living in a car down by the river, basically. I had one car that a door that didn't open, and I had a 2.5-year-old son, so I got divorced, and so I was a single mom, and so I had to crawl inside the car to get my son out of the car, to get him out, because my door didn't work. So that's kind of where I was through my process. And of course, during all that time, I was teaching workshops and seminars. I've been doing this for 40 some odd years, and Essence of Being for 32 years. And during that time, I thought I was a fraud because, I mean, here I am sharing all these concepts and beliefs and ideas and ways and tools. And here I am showing up with, this is my result for now. So I didn't feel like I was doing the right thing, but I didn't give up. I didn't give up on my dreams. I thought, this really does work. I believe these tools, these concepts, these beliefs, I know it works. I just didn't know why this was happening to me. And so the message here for you can be, all of you, never give up on your dreams. Never give up. And I still have these things that come up. I'm not perfect, but I have things come up in my life, and I just don't give up because now I have been teaching workshops and seminars all around the world on six continents, live transformational experiences with children and adults and companies. I built schools in Liberia with the Conscious Leadership School. We have a nonprofit where we're building all of these educational places for children and adults. And I'm telling you all of this and showing you these pictures just to not to say, hey, look at me. I'm saying all these things to say, look at you, because here I am. I've been speaking on stages around the world with some really incredible people. And now I've been married for 28 years. I've been with Brad, and we have millions in assets now, and we travel the world, and we're basically sharing all of this information for all of you out there. And so I'm telling you all of this to say, no matter where you are in your prosperity consciousness, no matter where you are, you can have what you want, because if I can do it, you can do it. And that's where I've come from. And we built the Conscious Leadership Academy, which is building that global movement of conscious leaders just like you, empowering others to create a win-win world. So I've been there. I've been there. And the truth for me is, if I lose everything again for whatever reason, energetically, if that's the gift I get, I have that experience of knowing that it doesn't matter, that I can co-create it all over again and even bigger. So, how many of you want a win-win world? I hope you do,
Sure
Kev.
do.
Okay. Yes. So, again, that is why I'm sharing my background and my experiences that I have, because I didn't give up on myself, but I still don't. And we are doing great works in the world and great play in the world and doing all these spiritual retreats that Kevin just went with us in Peru, at Machu Picchu. So, yeah, we've taken people to Italy and twice, and India, and we've had these major, beautiful cruises all around the Caribbean, and now, Peru, and then we're going to go to Egypt, and we're doing all of these things for people to get in touch with what a beautiful world we do live in, and to give a new perspective of how to be a conscious leader in the world in our own lives. So the question for all of you is, what are you worth? What are you worth? How do you demonstrate your worth, or how do you define your worth? Is it your bank account? Is it your friends? Is it your friendships, your relationships, your family? What have you done in the world to, make a difference in the world? Do you, and again, these are just open-ended questions for you to ponder about, what do I really believe about me? What am I worth? And how do I define my success? How do I define worthiness? And do I deserve everything that I desire? And we're going to get into that, because Bucky, this is Buckminster Fuller, that is one of my one of his proteges. He says, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete. And so, if things aren't working for you in your life right now and you keep doing the same thing over and over again, you know that's the definition of insanity. But it's also people are used to doing things a certain way. So, part of this expansion of why we're here tonight is to kind of look at receiving perhaps in a different way and create a new model that makes the existing model obsolete of how we used to think about ourselves. Does that make sense? Okay. So we all have desires, and that's our gas. Okay. So let's say we're driving a car and we have our foot on the gas and we have a desire. We want a job. We want employment. We want love. We want money. We want a business. We want purpose, all the things that we desire. But we also, while we're driving that car, we also have brakes. And that's the resistance or the belief that we can't have it. So, what happens when we're driving around with our gas and our brake on at the same time? We spin our wheels, right? And we feel stuck. Have you ever felt stuck sometimes?
Good
Yeah.
part of my life, yeah.
Or stalled, stuck or stalled. And what happens though, people, we know how to give up our dreams, don't we? We know how to give up what we want. We know how to give up our desires. So we let go of the gas. And so we're ending up just stuck because we still have our foot on the brake. So what would happen if we let go of the brake and we still keep our foot on the gas? What would happen?
We should go forward.
You get what you want. You're going for it. You let go of the resistance or the belief that you can't have it or you don't deserve it. And we know that people believe sometimes what you resist persists because if you keep resisting and you haven't let go of the resistance, it just keeps coming back at you. Maybe you have had many relationships in your life and you keep resisting that and it keeps coming back. It's the same person, a different face, though. It's like, didn't I? Didn't have you ever felt that way sometimes when you go into relationships, whether it be a job relationship or a business or a love relationship, you're going into these things and you keep resisting. You don't want certain things to happen, but they keep showing up. Okay. And so sometimes you just want to put your head against the wall like this, just resist, beat yourself up. So the opposite of that, and what we're going to play with tonight is trust and allow and don't ask how. So our belief that and finding evidence that we can trust again and allow things to come to us that we deserve. And sometimes what trips us up is also asking, how do we do it? Well, how's it going to come? And when is it going to come? And what is it? When is it going to come and how are we going to do it? And so our mind starts taking, we have beautiful minds, but our mind can get in the way sometime of us allowing, which is basically opening up our heart and our energy to allowing the gifts of the universe to flow to us and to flow through us and to flow with us. So being in that flow and our mind starts making up stories. Yeah, but how am I going to do it? Is this the one? Right? So trust and allow and don't ask how, I think, is a wonderful opportunity for us to really play with and say, hey, what are you focusing on? All the things that aren't working or all the things that are working? Is there anything working? Sometimes we feel like if, that one big thing isn't working in our life, then nothing's working. So my suggestion is, first of all, it's called a reticular activator in our brain. Okay, this is not just some woo-woo concept about focusing on things and creating it. It's called a reticular activator. And have you ever thought about buying a new car? And what do? You go and buy a new car, you go look online, you go test drive it, you're focusing on it, right? You're looking and you're focusing on it. And of course, you find the car that you want, and then what do you see driving around all the time while you're on the road? You see the Tesla, you see the car, you see the Porsche, whatever it is. You see the And you hadn't seen them before because you're focused on it. So it actually does really happen what you actively consciously focus on, it expands. And you see more and more and more of it. So this is why what I say is really looking at that subconscious belief about perhaps what is it that's not working and how that's kind of running the bus sometimes. We get really caught up in, well, this isn't happening, this isn't working, and we can go into a spiral. You said that earlier, Kevin, that that can happen, right? Yeah. So this is your brain, and this is your brain on workshop here. Okay. You have a conscious belief system, you have conscious thoughts, and you have subconscious and unconscious thoughts. You have positive and negative conscious. You also have positive and negative subconscious and unconscious. Okay. So how do you know what the subconscious is thinking? What's a clue?
Like dreams or something?
Well, could be. Yeah, it could show up in your dreams. One of the clues is just look at your results. Because the reason I say that is because the subconscious is running the bus. You can do affirmations all day long, and you can do all these things consciously all day long, but if your conscious and your subconscious is not aligned, it can block things happening the way you want them to happen because they're not aligned. And so, what they have proven in quantum physics is that there's 44,000 subconscious thoughts to one conscious thought. I mean, I don't know how they dialed that in, but supposedly the subconscious is constantly thinking, and that is really what ends up happening in our life because that runs the bus. So, for instance, you can look at your credit report. Let's say we're looking for money or we're trying to figure out our wealth or prosperity. Okay, we'll use that as a receiving thing. So, consciously, you can look at your credit report. You can check into some investment strategies. You can look at different tools on how to create wealth. You do affirmations, which I say are little lies you tell yourself until they become true. But if your subconscious and your unconscious is feeling and saying to yourself and blocking it, saying you're not good enough, you don't deserve it, you're unworthy, then you can see how that doesn't line up, that you're fighting yourself. And so for things to change, first, this must change, that subconscious thought. The unconscious thoughts have to change so you can line them up. So we're going to look at some of those right now. Ready? Okay. So I'm going to say a sentence and I want you to either write down or say out. You can write it down for a few minutes, just to give you a minute to write this down, those of you. And if you're driving in your car, don't do it. Just do it later. But I want you to finish the sentence and write down the first things that come up. You ready? The worst thing about money is, the worst thing about money is, just write down the first thing that comes up. Don't edit it. Don't figure it out. Don't think about it. Okay. You write something down? Okay, here's another one. Rich people are first thing. Okay, here's another one. I have a fear of receiving money because I have a fear or resistance of receiving money because. Okay. I have a fear of giving money because, or I have resistance of giving money because. Okay. Now, if you want to play with other things other than money, you can go back and do this also with love. You have a fear of receiving love because, and maybe a fear of giving love. Because it can happen, it can be intertwined. Okay. So for a moment now, I just want to have you share if you don't mind, and then we'll go back to the thing. So what did you write down? The worst thing about money is.
Always afraid of not having enough.
Okay.
So
Not
maybe
having enough.
four. Yeah.
Okay. And rich people are.
Unrelatable.
Oh. That's a very interesting answer. You can't relate. Okay. All right. I have a fear of receiving money because
I'm not worthy.
and then if I have a fear of giving money because
I don't have enough.
not enough. Okay. All right. Now, just so you know, thank you for sharing that because actually, that's very common responses for people. They can relate to that about not having enough or not feeling worthy enough. And certainly, if you feel like you're not relatable, like rich people are not relatable, then why would you ever become one?
Yeah, well, in my view, I mean, when you come from a position of not having something like that, it's always my belief that, yeah, I'll never forget where I came from type of thing, And I don't know if that's true. I've often said that with the whole lottery thing. It's like, oh, if I ever win the lottery, how it ruins so many people. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but I think I could do it. I'd still like to try because I know where I'm coming from.
Let me try.
Exactly. So yeah, when I said unrelatable, I just, I guess in my mindset, I'm thinking, just the people, like when you say rich, my mind went to people who were born into money and have always had money and never been scared a day in their life about anything, that kind of thing. And that's where I came, kind of was thinking.
No, that's perfect. And my point is, if you so you feel like you've lost the game already, if that's where you're cut, this is a belief, and these are subconscious things that are coming out. Okay, they're not wrong or right. They're just ruminating in there. So if your belief is that you weren't born with money, and you've never had to you've never experienced that kind of life, then you've already lost. And relatable can mean also, I don't know what it feels like, so therefore I'm never going to have it. And I've already lost it because I wasn't born into that. Now, some people think rich people are greedy, rich people are bad, rich people are, they do something dishonest to get their money. That kind of thing. So that could also be a belief that may or may not be yours, but that can come up for people. And again, I go back to the question, then can you see how that belief alone would block you from becoming rich?
Yeah, for sure. For
Because who
sure.
the hell would want to be that, right?
Yeah, if that's the evil that you see, then why do you want to be that?
So that is a huge block that a lot of people have that don't even realize that's what they're holding in their mentally. They want this and that, and they want to be able to do well and make just enough. Okay. Okay. Create wealth in that way, just enough so they're not greedy, or they don't want to be. Again, the relatable thing I think is an interesting choice because you said that, a lot of people might feel that they're isolated if they're rich. It's sort of like it can be lonely.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, again, I'm just bringing out all these different belief systems that people might write down, those of you who are listening to this call. Again, it's about that could be it right there. That could be the actual block. That if that's your belief system, then you're going to do everything in your power not to become one, and you self-sabotage. Okay, now that could be it. I mean, that could be the thing right there that we can just shift into. Let's change that belief. but I wanted to dig a little deeper and see when you said I have a fear of receiving money as I'm not worthy. That's a pretty core issue. That's a pretty core belief. You have to earn it. You have to do something. You have to be worthy of receiving money. There's a transaction. Many people were raised, it's a transaction. I have to do something in order to earn it. I can't just receive it just because I exist. I have to do something and transact something and give something in order for me to receive it. And I'm sure that you and a lot of other people out there are feeling like you give, like in other words, you're givers. You want to give to people, let's say, but the receiving part of it is elusive. It's like, I don't want to have to receive something because I'm going to owe them something. What do they want? Maybe we grew up with parents or we grew up with trauma where we see that, I'm going to owe somebody something and I'm not strong to do it myself. I have to be independent. Let me do it myself. And that means I'm worthy if I can do it myself and be independent. I can't just ask somebody for something just because I want it or need it. And so there's this belief system that's running on that little hamster wheel that because I'm not worthy, absolutely can block you from allowing yourself just to receive because you exist. You don't have to do anything. What if? I'm going to pose this to you. What if you don't have to do anything and you just receive and you don't have to give anything back?
That, I mean, you're bringing up, I mean, that's just such a foreign concept to me, you know. Like I've never let that happen, never let those thoughts happen like that, you know. Like I, you know, there's always reciprocation. At the very least, reciprocation
Right.
that's necessary, or not necessary, but required.
Yeah. Well, this is going to blow your mind, Kev. What if when you receive, you're actually giving something back and it is reciprocated just for the simple fact that you received it? Think about when you give somebody something, you give them a compliment, you give them money, you give them time, you give them love, and they receive it. Does that give something back to you?
Absolutely.
Giving and receiving is the same energy. Think about it. And I'm going to say, I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to challenge you a bit to say, you do know what it feels like. When you said, I've never allowed that or never, I'm going to show you that you have. Just think about a baby, okay? And a baby, you're going, you're so cute, you're such a cute baby. What does the baby do? The baby just receives it and loves it, loves receiving it. That's all they do. And what is, how does that make you feel when they receive it? How does that make you feel?
Yeah, like there is no other feeling. Like, I mean, it's like you're the king of their world, and wow, you know.
Right. They're giving you a gift. They're giving back. They're giving you something for the simple joy and fact that they are receiving. Did they have to do, did they have to just, you're so cute. Do they look at you and go, no, let me wash your car for you first before I deserved for you to love on me like that. Let me go do something for you first. No. They don't do that. They don't say, let me do something for you first in order for me to feel worthy of receiving. No, they just receive. And guess what? I believe you were a baby at one point, my dear.
Yes.
So you have that experience in your field, in your awareness. You have been a receiver. And by receiving, you're giving back to someone. You're giving back to the universe. You're giving back just because you're receiving. And it fills that person up, just like it does for you. When you give somebody and they go, nah, whatever, thanks. Nah, I don't want it. How does that make you feel?
Yeah, pretty crappy.
Yeah, and it's like, why am I going to give you anything anymore? So if you constantly are saying no, you're asking, you're saying I want this, but no, don't really give it to me. This is a universal thing. This is can be a God thing, a universe thing, a person thing, a money thing, a love thing. We're saying we want it, but not really. No, I'm not going to receive it. I mean, pretty soon I'd give up, and that goes for a person. If they're trying to give you love and you keep blocking it, what are they? It's there's nothing. It's not there's no flow, because giving and receiving is the same energy. If you block it in any pathway, whether you give it or receive it, if you block it, it stops the flow.
I understand what you're saying. But where, how does that work if, trying to think of an example. I mean, I always want to repay people, you know, not necessarily in money. And if I kind of lost my train of thought. I'm
I'll tell
sorry.
you why. I'll tell you why, honey. I hear what you're saying, and I'll tell you why this is so ingrained in so many people. Because it is socially acceptable to not receive. This whole thing, oh, thanks. You know, when I give you a compliment, you really look good today. And no, I don't. Are you really? I like that hat. Yeah, but it's old. It's
Yeah.
our first knee-jerk reaction for many of us to
Yeah.
discount. And in essence of being, I don't know if you remember the game we played of that's kind of sets this up, where you give a compliment and you discount it. But the opposite of that is you just say, thank you. And you don't have to say anything back. There's a knee-jerk reaction for somebody. If somebody says, oh, I like your dress. Oh, I like yours too. Thanks. It totally pushes it back. You don't receive it. Oh, you too. Thanks. I love you. Love you too. You didn't receive that. You just pushed it back. So it's spiritually inappropriate to not receive. It's socially acceptable to say, oh, no, that's okay. Thank you. Whatever. You too. That's accepted.
Yeah.
However, in my world, and it's spiritually inappropriate, because in order for receiving to work and giving to work, there has to be a flow. And it's totally, you know, out of consciousness, because we were raised perhaps with that we have to give something back. We can't just receive because we deserve it.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah,
Yeah,
until recently, right?
until recently. Yes.
Until recently, yeah. So a good mantra would be, the more I give, the more I receive. So try that with me. The more I
More
give,
to
the more
give,
I
the
receive.
more I receive.
I'll try it this way. The more I receive, the more I give.
The more I receive, the more I give.
And it's a flow. The more you can receive, the more you can give. The more you can give, the more you can receive. The more I receive, it's the same energy.
So is it a, is it, am I putting a stop in my head? I'll give you a quick example. So I not only was sick when we came out, got home from Peru or on the way back, but just a couple of weeks ago, same kind of thing. It was, like a 48-hour thing, but the morning I woke up, I felt like I didn't feel well at all, and we had a foot of snow outside, and my neighbor had already shoveled my entire driveway and most of my sidewalk. And so I text him and I said, thanks, can't believe the timing. I felt like crap today and appreciate it. And left it at that. But I have a tally. I keep tallies. And so, there's going to be a day, the next snow or the next chance I get, I'm going to try to beat him out there. I'm probably going to do his entire driveway and his like, is that like putting a stop, or is that just being, I
Well,
don't know. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and let me just say, by you saying thank you, I appreciate that, and leave it at that. That was brilliant. That was great, and I know it warmed his heart that you accepted that, just like you would go out and do it for him. There's a difference between owing somebody and putting the tally and being present with the gift, and you being letting go of the tally. And saying when you wake up one day and you decide, oh, I feel really good about giving this to this guy. I'm gonna go do this. It doesn't have to be tit for tat either. It doesn't have to be exactly the same thing. But I feel good about this. This is gonna make me feel good. And I hope he receives it. But it's not because you owe it to him.
Okay.
Because owing something, you're right, it keeps a tally.
Yeah, for sure.
And that also can weigh heavy if the tally keeps adding up. And that starts that spiral of not feeling good enough or not worthy. It's like, look at all these other people, and I can't, blah, blah, blah. And it starts, getting really heavy. So being present with the gift, that's why we call it a gift. It's being present. The future hasn't happened, the past doesn't help. It's being present. That's the gift. So when he did that, I doubt very seriously if he did it because he wants you to do it for him.
Right, no.
Right? No. And it made him feel good that you said thank you. Now, it doesn't mean that you understand the difference between owing somebody and then
Yeah.
just allowing yourself to feel grateful.
Yeah. Like if it's only about if it snows like crazy, if I feel like I owe him, then I'll do it one time. But the third time it snows, I'm not, if it's only about the tally, I won't do it again because I don't owe him anything anymore.
Unless you feel
Unless,
inspired,
yeah,
you feel
unless I feel
inspired to
inspired
feel,
to, yeah.
which is the present moment. It's an inspired thing to give. That's when you said, I have a fear of giving money because there's not enough. Okay, that's been evidence. You've had that evidence in your life, perhaps from your parents, perhaps from your life, a lot of different ways. You find all these evidence that it's true, that there's not enough. So, hey, if there's not enough, I'm going to keep some of it, man, because, for that snowy, rainy day. And that also is not necessarily serving you. Because you're not in that flow of allowing and abundance. Because if you hold on to it because there's not enough, that boils down to I'm not enough. And we worked on that, which is good. But we have to be reminded, it's okay. We have to be reminded. Oh, that's right. I am good enough. And there is enough. And what if there was enough in the world? What if I could demonstrate to everyone that there is enough instead of demonstrating that there's not? And I ask myself those questions, What if? So I gave my way to prosperity, Kevin. That's my little gift and my little tool. I'm going to give you some tools here, but one of my tools about getting when I was bankrupt, I lost everything. I lost everything. And I was a single mom working a million jobs and doing a lot of things and teaching workshops because I believed in it. Because I wanted it to, but I realized why I went through what I went through so that I could stand before people and say, hey, this really works. Don't give up. This really works. So, what I did is I gave my way to prosperity, which is counterintuitive. So, what I did is I would give someone a dollar. If I had a dollar, I gave them a dollar. If they needed it or wanted it, they say, hey, do you have a dollar? Can I borrow? Whatever. And I would give a dollar. And that would make me feel good. I would feel abundant because they have something now that they didn't have before. And what that did for me is it raised my vibration up. It raised my consciousness up from feeling scarcity to feeling more abundant. I didn't do it to say, now you give it back, or, you know, I didn't do it for that reason. I didn't say, I'm going to give, so maybe it'll come back to me. But it really did work where I would feel myself going, okay, I want to feel better about me. So, wow, let me give this to you because there is enough. It may not look like it. It may not smell like it. It may not look like it in my bank account or show up in my world. But I know there's enough. And I want to see more evidence of that. So I'm going to give something to someone that they didn't have. And that made me feel better. So it would raise me up, raise me up, raise me up, raise me up. So my energy and my consciousness was going more into that flow of abundance as opposed to there's not enough and I'm not enough. Does that make sense? So that's what I mean by I gave my way to prosperity. So, you know, a lot of times if I'm feeling like I don't have enough, I give people stuff. And then I think, oh, okay. And also it kind of starts the process. If I feel stuck, it starts some kind of flow. If giving and receiving is the same energy, I might as well give some, you know, to kind of prime the pump. You know that, you know what that means, prime the pump? Yeah.
I'm a
I'm
little
priming.
bit country as well.
Yeah, I'm a little bit country. Yeah, I was born, I was raised on a farm kind of, or not. Anyway, you know, yeah. I was priming the pump. So anytime, so if I feel like I owe somebody something, you don't want to feel like you're in debt, right? You want to like break that debt cycle. So, what feeling or emotion do you have when you feel like you're in debt? Not just indebted to somebody, but just in debt, period. How does that make you feel?
I think I don't know if I have a good word. Panic is too hard or is too harsh. That's too strong. But when I feel, now I can, like big things like a mortgage or whatever, I don't feel that pressure, but if I have
That's
like a,
good. That's good debt, right?
yeah, exactly. Like if I
Right.
have a big credit card bill or
Yeah.
balance, I'm just uneasy
Right.
until I get to the, when it's due, and then am I gonna pay it all, or am I gonna just pay the minimum or give it a lesser amount and hope I can make it up? You know what I mean? It's just, it's an awful feeling for me.
And feel good. And I'll give you a word. Some people feel guilty.
I see that.
So that's a word. Some people feel guilty. And if you feel guilty, and I've expressed this a lot in a lot of the workshops that we do, anytime you feel guilty about anything, what you're attracting to you, it demands punishment. Because if you're in a courtroom and you're guilty, you get punished. Now, you can either attract something or someone that will punish you, or you will self-sabotage and punish yourself. Either way, you're going to get punished. So if you get into that spiral of guilt, one of the best ways to get through that, what's the opposite of guilt?
Innocence.
Yay! Going back to the baby. It's the innocence. You're either guilty or you're innocent. And if you're innocent, so money is innocent. A lot of people put value, they put all these projections on the energy of money and the energy of wealth and prosperity and love, and all they project. So, innocence, if you could try that on for a little while and just trying that on, saying, I'm innocent, even if you don't believe it, even if you don't think it's true or you're not sure, you haven't seen the evidence of it, you can try that on. And what that does, at least it gives you an awareness of, you know what, I am innocent. I mean, I was a baby. I mean, I do have that childlike innocence in me still somewhere. And I choose to feel that because I am innocent. And the more you can look yourself in the mirror and start believing that, one of the tools I give people is you find a picture of yourself when you're a little boy or a little girl, and you put that on the bathroom mirror. And every morning when you wake up and you're brushing your teeth and you look on the mirror and you see that little person. And you say to that little person, you're innocent. Because that little boy is innocent, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you look at him and you say, you're innocent. And then you look in the mirror and say it again to you. And say, you are innocent. And then the third time you say, I am innocent while you're looking in the mirror. So that's a great tool to have, especially if you have a lot of debt. If you don't feel like you're not sure how to get out of feeling guilty, it's a great way to start every day is put that picture of your little innocent self there and remind yourself and say to yourself, you are innocent, and breathe it in. Breathe it in. And then you say it in the mirror to yourself and say, you are innocent. Breathe it in. And then you change it to, I am innocent. Breathe it in. And like I said, even if you don't see the value of that or see the evidence that that's true yet, you start your day that way, and I promise you, it's a lot easier to start your day feeling that way than feeling guilty.
Yeah, I get
Yeah.
that.
So here's some affirmations I want to give you to use. Remember I said affirmations are little lies you tell yourself? Say, it is safe to receive.
Okay.
I am innocent. And I am worthy of receiving my heart's desire. I am worthy of receiving my heart's desire. And practice that. Yeah, practice that every day. And just saying those things and looking in the mirror and saying to yourself, I'm innocent, with a little, give a picture of yourself. Because that person's still in there. And the other part of this is, like I said, giving your way to prosperity. It kind of primes the pump. And doing so with the knowing that giving and receiving is the same energy. The more I give, the more I receive. The more I receive, the more I give. And it's just a learned thing.
Yeah, it's a discipline, or it's a, something that until recently haven't been very good at. I forget, and I revert very quickly back to this kind of dark spots, dark places kind of.
Yeah, it can get
Yeah.
very heavy and dark. And so the good news is there's a part of you that's lit up, and there's a part of you that knows all this is true. And for you specifically, you have a family unit that supports you, and you can support them as well in these affirmations and these rituals. I call them little rituals you can do every morning. Just like brushing your teeth, you do that every morning.
Yeah.
You remind yourself you're innocent every morning,
Yeah. Well, having that picture up there, that is a great idea, 'cause you can't miss it,
Yeah, because you're the innocent little boy inside of you. All he's ever wanted is to be loved, to feel safe, and to know that he matters. That's all he's ever wanted. And so when you see his little eyes looking back at you in those pictures, or whenever you look at him, you can see the innocence in there. And you transfer that feeling that you get when you look over to you in the mirror. Transfer that feeling and breathe it in. Didn't know it was going to be real heavy today, huh?
Yeah. It's going to take some
Well, not
practice.
heavy. It's my truth is, and my belief is, it's light. We're seeing the light. We need more lightness in the darkness. Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and you burn bright, Kevin. You do. You burn bright, honey. You have a bright light, and it's just a matter of remembering that and re-energizing.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like the way you put things. Like, I do understand. It's not it makes sense to me, and things have to make sense to me. It's just kind of the way I am. But it takes work for me to remember, these truths. And so when I get in situations like this, and I hear you talking and these things, it's I try not to beat myself up, like, you knew this, 2 months ago, and you didn't do you haven't done it since, that kind of thing. And
No, you didn't allow. Yeah, that's the beating yourself up guilt thing, honey. That's the spiral.
So I just need to, I mean, it's work in a different way that I'm accustomed to work. My mind's eye of what work is not this.
Right. Working on yourself is not for the faint of heart, okay? It's just not. Being conscious is not for people that, it can be a challenge at times, but look at it as play, honey. And anytime you look at anything you're doing in personal growth as work, it's like, oh my God, well, I'd rather just watch TV, which is fine. That's okay. Again, it's not beating yourself up. That's the main thing. And anytime you learn things about yourself, or you have these awarenesses or experiences like Peru or Essence Peak, whatever, it's not like you're going to be on cloud nine for the rest of your life. Life happens, and what we do with those things that we co-create in the world and how we show up is the enlightening part. And just to remember who we are, and to not beat ourselves up that shoulda, woulda, coulda, because every time you should on yourself, it gets dirty. That's a joke.
Not a bad one. Pretty good.
Shit on myself again.
Yeah.
Yeah, it gets dirty and it's heavy, and it's, doesn't really do anything. So that just creates more guilt. So here's one more tool. Every time you hear yourself saying, I should, do a pinch and shift, is what I call it. You pinch yourself right here in between your thumb and your first forefinger and right in the middle there. It kind of hurts if you pinch it a little bit. And you hear yourself say, should, you just pinch it and shift it to, I choose. Whenever you say, I should have known better, pinch yourself and say, I choose to know and remember. Change the word should to choose. I choose. And catch yourself doing it. And just little wins, honey, little wins. Catch yourself doing it. Oh, I did it again. Not, oh, damn it, I did it again. I'm bad. But I did it again. Okay, I caught myself. I choose. It's a game. It's a playful game. And it's hard to put that into perspective sometimes when you're Mr. Man and you're having to do feeling like you have to. And anytime you find yourself saying, I have to, change it to I choose. So there's another one. When you hear should or I have to, say I choose to. I choose to allow my self to feel innocent. I choose to bring in some new business. I choose to. I don't have to. I choose to. It's a game I'm playing. Yeah. That helpful?
It is.
Good. And we will be, I do this, like I said, every third Wednesday of every month. And I also, we have our conscious leadership calls, our next calls that we're having. It's always the first Tuesday and last Tuesday of every month. And you get the emails about that. So you can get on the call for our conscious leadership. And it's this kind of thing, only it's an hour and a half with, we go a little deeper on different subjects and just reminders
Yeah.
that, that we, it's helpful to have reminders about these things. So we don't get so caught up in all the things we don't really want in our life. And also shamanasta.com, just so you know, is this Saturday. I'm going to put this in the chat. It is shamanasta.com. I do that also the third Saturday of every month. And it's a group perspective for if you want shaman, if you want to ask Shamanasta anything. And I also put in the chat, which won't apply to you, but anybody in the Atlanta area, we're doing a breathe for the winter solstice on Saturday. We're doing some a releasing and breathing and guided meditation to help people get calm and ready for 2026. So
Crazy,
that's
it's that time already.
I know. I know. So,
Yikes.
but hopefully I'll see you either shamanasta.com, go to shamanasta.com if you want to do that. And it's half price. It's like $23 or something like that. For it's this Saturday, December 20th. And certainly join us for those calls anytime, honey.
All right. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate, I appreciate it. I really do.
And you don't owe me anything.
Fair. I'll take
Okay, I
that.
receive that. I'll
I
receive that
receive
for
that.
you. Yes, I'll receive that for you. And that's a great way to say I receive that and allow that to happen. And give Cindy and Avery and your other daughter, right?
Addison.
Addison, that's right. Give them my love and I'll see you soon, I hope.
Great.
I'll
Thanks
see
so
you next
much.
week, I think. Okay.
For sure.
All
All
right.
right.
Take care.
Thanks.
All right.